Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The Word of God, that's the basis for our meditation this evening as we take up that final example of don't go on being afraid, are the familiar words taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, born the Savior of all humankind, dear fellow redeemed, in his precious blood. What things did shepherds in the first century fear? Well, the rocky hills of Judea were well known for highway bandits who preyed upon solitary travelers making their way up to Jerusalem and the temple of Yahweh. But those bandits usually sought easy money, and stealing and hiding and raising sheep would not qualify as easy money. Highway bandits were certainly around, but I doubt they were a great concern for the shepherds. The wilderness of Judea was also home to a great many predators looking for a meal. King David had been a shepherd boy in these same fields and had to protect his sheep from both lion and bear. Shepherds had to protect their sheep, after all, because they were their livelihood. Sheep brought a good price because there was a great need for the animals in first century Judea. They weren't only used for food during the annual Passover meal, but they were used in the daily sacrifices in the temple of Yahweh. One in the morning, one in the evening. To say nothing of the daily sacrifices for sin brought by individuals. So as a result, there was a need for a great many sheep and lambs. But if their animals were to be used for this purpose, then they had to be protected and kept healthy. For the Word of God required that the Passover lamb be without blemish or spot, and likewise those animals to be brought to the Lord for sacrifice had to be externally perfect in every way. So if any of their sheep were injured or infirmed, they would lose their value, and the shepherd would be in danger of losing his livelihood. Shepherds relied upon other shepherds to protect their sheep, to fight off those aforementioned predators. And they often did so as a young David had, with a simple sling and a few stones. They carried a club as well. It was part of the job, handed down from father to son. And so when those shepherds watching over their flock by night settled in for the evening, it was routine. No doubt each of those shepherds had an assigned duty. Some stood as sentry watching the hills for predators. Some would see to the personal needs of the sheep, dabbing olive oil on any wounds that they had so that they might heal. Some would count the sheep to make sure all were present, while another would see that every lamb found its mother. For nothing could be done for a lamb rejected by its mother. They would die. If the shepherds who kept watch over their flocks outside of Bethlehem had any fears, their fears probably concerned their animals, and not they themselves. But their puny weapons would have had no effect whatsoever on the bright, shining warrior who suddenly stepped from the darkness bathed in light. They were in the fields in first century Judea, where there was no light pollution like today to lift the darkness. But then again, not even the darkest of nights could hide an angel of the Lord bathed in God's glory. If Moses' face shone after being in the presence of God for just a short time, imagine the face of one who dwelt in his presence. This was a new thing of which to be afraid. And they were all afraid too. Whatever they were doing, tending the fire or tending the sheep or resting from the long day, they were, according to Scripture, all afraid with a great fear. Because you see, it was one thing to protect from predators. They were flesh and blood. They came for the sheep, not the shepherds. But this messenger of God didn't come for the sheep. He came for the shepherds. They were all sinful men and they knew it. If he had been sent to bring them God's judgment, then they indeed had something of which to be afraid. We don't know if this was the angel Gabriel, because it's not said. But we do know that he had the same message as Gabriel had for Zechariah and for Mary. The angel said to them, "Don't go on being afraid." The reason that they and we need not be afraid is because God has sent a Savior, deliver us from sin, death, and from the power of Satan. We therefore this evening revel a little early in this good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Fear not. Sin and its consequences, fear not. Death and its darkness, fear not. Satan and his threats or accusations. There is born to you a Savior to deliver you from all of these enemies. Sanctify us by the truth, O Lord, your word is truth. Amen. Do you suppose the shepherds felt immediate relief when the angel spoke to them? Or did it only allow them to catch their breath, to start breathing again after seeing him? It was surely good news to hear that this angelic warrior had not been sent to bring them news of judgment. It was even better to be told that the message he brought from God was good news, not only for them, but also for all the people. Nevertheless, putting myself in those shepherds' sandals, I think they were far from relieved. It was one thing to be told, "Don't go on being afraid." It was another thing entirely to have reason to relax and even to rejoice. It's true that the angel told them why they could stop being afraid. But it would take some time for them to fully grasp just what this messenger had said. The first part of his message wasn't really all that unbelievable. A baby born in Bethlehem. I would imagine that happened fairly frequently in those days. That when it wasn't bursting at the seams because of visitors. After all, babies are born, both to locals and to visitors. The news that a child had been born was likely not a huge surprise. A baby has been born in Bethlehem. Really wasn't the good news. What was good news was just what and who this child was born to be. Let's start with a what, shall we? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. What was this child born to be? A Savior. In a sense, there had been more than one Savior to have arisen from Bethlehem in its history. The book of Ruth tells us about a Savior from Bethlehem by the name of Boaz. He was living in Bethlehem when a relative named Naomi returned home a widow with a daughter-in-law named Ruth, who was also a widow. Neither of the two women had any means to support themselves, unless one of Naomi's relatives, a kinsman, was willing to step up and to marry Ruth. In order for that to take place, that relative or that redeemer had to be a relative. He had to be able to support Ruth, and he had to be willing to do so. So Boaz became a kinsman redeemer and a savior of sorts for Ruth. God also blessed Ruth and Boaz with a son they named Obed. In time, Obed and his wife gave birth to a son named Jesse. And then God gave yet another savior out of Bethlehem, Ruth's great-grandson, whom you know as David. He began as a shepherd, but God granted many rescues at his hand for the nation of Israel. Yes, he defeated the armed giant named Goliath with his shepherd's weapons, a sling and stones. He led the armies of Israel on many other great victories, and God blessed his leadership. And David became yet another savior of sorts to arise from Bethlehem. But God promised a still greater savior. The prophet Micah from Moresheth, 20 miles southwest of Bethlehem, foretold that the great king would be born in that little town, speaking the familiar words you all know. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth to me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." So it's true in a sense that other saviors had come from Bethlehem. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer who in a sense rescued Ruth. David is a great king and leader for Israel, and God delivered the nation many times through him. The judges, their names themselves mean saviors. And in a sense, they all saved too. But none of them could save their people from their sin. So I wonder, does it bother you to read a savior here in this verse? Does it seem to say that he's only one of many saviors, like the Oprah Winfreys and the Joel Osteens of this world say, you know, that Jesus is just one of many ways to God? They would agree he's a savior. And Jesus would be just that, one of many, except that the next phrase singles him out and specifies him, setting him apart from every other so-called savior. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." For you see, the prophets didn't promise many Christs. They promised one. Oh, they called him different things. The seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the seed of Isaac, the seed of Jacob. Jacob called him Shiloh, the peace bringer. Jeremiah called him the Lord, our righteousness. Daniel called him the Son of Man. Isaiah called him the branch, the shoot to spring from the stump of Jesse. He called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The prophet Malachi called him the messenger of the covenant. These promises all concerned one Savior, the Christ, the Messiah. You see, the angel didn't foretell the birth of another option for humankind, but the only option. He's called a Savior because that's what he is. But he's the only one, for he is Christ the Lord. Of him, there are not many, but one. He isn't one of many, but one of a kind. For it is written of him and him alone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So we don't know with all certainty what a first century shepherd was afraid of. But we do know the things we fear. We fear death. We fear the future. When we ask ourselves whether we're good enough to stand before Almighty God, we're afraid, naturally. Because His law tells us the unvarnished truth, no. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Which is why we dare never forget the real meaning of Christmas. It's summed up for us in the words of an angel to terrified shepherds. Don't go on being afraid. A Savior is born for you, Christ the Lord. Yes, and cling to Him, and you need never again fear sin or death or Satan. Don't go on being afraid. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. The offerings will be gathered.